Like Grady used to sing the song, have you ever drank a cup of loneliness with him? I say, weary pilgrim that saw a stray in sin, called out of darkness a new life to begin. The song says, when you've lost all your vigor and your vim, did you ever drink a cup of loneliness with him? Well, I've had a sip or two. It's hard for me to say that I've really drank a cup of loneliness with Jesus. Even though I've been in some severe circumstances of my life, things that perhaps some of you will never encounter, I trust that you won't. I trust that my wife and children won't. But even with such severity of life, when I am reminded of Jesus and the things that he went through with, I say, Lord, I suppose that maybe I've had a little sip of your cup, but to really drink a cup of loneliness with him, Paul said, to know him in the fellowship of his suffering, that I might be made conformable unto his death, then that I should know him in the power of his resurrection. And we, as a people, cannot fathom the fact that if we are to ever know the Lord Jesus and the power of his resurrection, that we're going to have to drink a cup of loneliness with him. We're going to have to suffer with him. The Bible says to equip yourselves with a mind of suffering. This is strange doctrine to a lot of people, because in the world, all they teach is the blessings of God, and all they teach is to have prosperity. God is love, and he wants you to have prosperity, and he wants you to have health and everything going real well for you, which is the truth. That is the truth, but that's only the truth in part. To obtain that great, wonderful place is to drink a cup of loneliness with him, or to find yourselves fulfilling the scripture that says that if we know him in the fellowship of his suffering, we can then know him in the power of his resurrection. Or, as the scripture has said, equip yourselves with a mind to suffer and deny yourselves. And this is the hard part to humanity, because humanity don't want to deny themselves. They don't want a mind to suffer, and they'll do anything they can to get around it. And since God has so uniquely provided provisions of today, in the time of our development as to lack of faith of divine deliverance, he having provided these means of hospitals and medicine, whatever, then we find ourselves never willing to endure or press the issue or to make any special effort to have faith or to develop faith. This is a snare to the whole world. But being thankful for the blessings of God, that God has given, we thank the Lord for it in every capacity of life. But on the other hand, we are pilgrims and we are strangers to this world. And as the songwriter said, this world is not our home. And we are looking for our home. When the Israelites came out of Egypt, their home was Canaan. And they were looking for Canaan, and they were moving progressively toward Canaan. And it was said unto them, as you go through the land of Esau and the land of Moab, the lands of Edom, he said, you pay your way and you go on, and you don't turn to the right nor the left. You don't try to homestead, you just keep on moving, because your inheritance is in Canaan. And so they did that. And this is the way it is with us. We are headed for a wonderful place called glory. And in that place, we are moving on with God, or toward that place for God. In that place, we're going to have a rest, and we're going to have a new harvest, and we're going to have joy unspeakable and full of glory. And even though we have that already within our hearts, yet we're not partakers of it until we come to recognize that we already are the sons of God. For the Bible said, now, beloved, are you the sons of God? It does not yet appear what ye shall be like, but when he appears, we know that we shall be like him, for we'll be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, and we will appear even as he. For we already have within this earthen vessel this heavenly treasure that's called the glory of God. Christ in you is the hope of that glory. So this morning, in making reference to Peter, I'd like to read here, or refer to it here in Peter, where Peter says that God, having given us all things that pertain unto life, has given us great and precious promises, that by these we might be partakers of this divine life, this wonderful life. And I'd like to comment just a little bit on that this morning as to this wonderful program and plan that God has given us, maybe to break it down in one or two steps to where you can understand it a little better than you have in the last few services. We bordered pretty much on time and on worlds in the last few services. And then the last service, we ministered to you about faith. And we went over to the book of John, and we brought out some things concerning faith. And then I purpose in my heart, if the Lord will allow us to, that we might talk a little bit about these precious promises and might try to break it down in dimensional steps to program your mind, or to put within your mind and heart a formulated way of thinking that you might know better how to approach this wonderful life of God. Because what are we talking about? We're talking about the wonderful life of God. See, we're here to talk to you about the wonderful life of God. When Jesus came, he had a purpose. Every person is born into the world for a purpose. And so then the purpose of the Lord Jesus was that we might have life. He said, I've come that you might have life, and that you might have it more abundant. And the word abundant means filled up and overflowing. I've come that you may have life. I am the Prince of Life, Jesus said. And I've come that you might have life, and life more abundant. Now this thrills me, and this means something to me, because when I think about life, I think from the foundation of the world, life was lost. And the sentence of death was placed within mankind. For the Bible said, within the body there is a sentence of death. And how to redeem that body, how to find life, we've never been able to do it as to the scientific definition. And though they boast themselves of whatever, yet the Bible said there's science, that is knowledge, falsely so called, that's ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. And so then we know that there is a knowledge of truth, which is the knowledge of God. It is not stemmed from the tree of knowledge. It does not come from the tree of knowledge. It is called understanding. And Solomon said you can have wisdom and you can have all kind of knowledge from schooling and college, all these kind of things, and still not have understanding. And so he taught that there is a knowledge of God that brings understanding. And with knowledge and wisdom, he said, get understanding. There is a great light that is shining. We speak of this light so often that even in the days of the apostolic church, Calvary came. And then it was said, great light has sprung up unto them that sat in the regions of the shadow of death. The prophets spoke of this. The prophets prophesied of this. Great light has sprung up unto them that sat in the regions of the shadow of death. And here comes Calvary, and all of a sudden, here is that light. Jesus come and said, I am the light of the world. And there he was, the light of the world, and he sprang right up in the midst of them that sat in the regions of the shadow of death. But they could not comprehend that light. The Bible said, though this great and mighty light shined within their midst, yet they, having no eyes to understand, ears to hear, eyes to see, then the Bible said they could not comprehend this great, wonderful light. Though the light shined in darkness, the darkness could not comprehend it. And though you might be ever so intellectually brilliant, and you may have your life planned out and everything just right, and you might even be religious in the routines of today, you might belong to a church, you might be real active in the church, but that doesn't mean that you have life, nor does it mean that you're going to enter into life or enter into glory, because there is a difference altogether. as to understanding, the Bible teaches we being children of light, the day of the coming of the Lord shall not come upon us unaware. Though it comes upon all of the world as a snare upon them that dwell on the earth, yet to us it is no snare. For the Bible said we shall know when it's nigh, even at the door. And when we see these things, know that it's nigh, even at the door. And he said, if you cannot discern the signs of the time, then are you hypocrites. So we discern the signs of the time because we're not hypocrites. And we see these wonderful things coming, and we see these things taking place. So we know by this that it's nigh, even at the door. And we are the ones that can comprehend this light, the heights and the depths and the width and the length of this great, wonderful light. We comprehend it, so we're all taught of God, and it's not the minister speaking, but it is God. And so then God, using the oral expression of human vocal organs, he comes to you and he speaks to you and he enlightens you and he brings you to the richness of the revelation of Jesus Christ. Paul said, pray that God will grant unto you the spirit of revelation. And this wonderful revelation that was given to Paul, God said, Paul, go among the Gentiles and take me a bride for my name's sake. And with this wonderful revelation, he went forth to take a bride. And today the same spirit of Paul, which he said, it's not I that liveth, but Christ that liveth within me, and the life I now live by the Son of God, that spirit of Christ that went forth to get a bride, that spirit of Christ is still in the world today as the revelation of the Son of God, and it's going to get a bride. And the bride is the body. The body of humanity that it can find throughout the earth. This body of humanity that will submit to this Christ spirit, that's willing to forsake their own spirit, their own mind, their own way of life, and give themselves as the body to this Christ spirit, that they, that Christ may put them on as a garment. Then in this, this is the way of life. This is the bride. This body that will submit is the bride. The woman is the body. The man is the male. And through the body, he reproduces his image. And this Christ that is in the male perspective, while we find ourselves in the female perspective, we're looking to this Christ that he might bring about the indoctrination of that wonderful word of light, and that we might conceive of the divinity of the word of the Lord Jesus, that we might carry the child of the image of Jesus Christ to reproduce his image in the earth, whose temples ye are, body members in particular, flesh of his flesh and bone of his bone. And Paul said, as to the ministry, we travail till Christ be formed within you. So then this light has sprung up in darkness. The whole world is in darkness because there is no light in them. They are through the fall, all ordained unto death. In Adam, all die. And so this great light has sprung up since Calvary. And this Christ, which is that light, as to the word of spirit and life, he is in the world today, and he is looking for an entrance into the heart. In the writings of Solomon, Solomon says he's at the door knocking, standing at the heart's door knocking, saying, and he that openeth unto me, I will come in and sup with him. And so Solomon says in his, the Songs of Solomon, said he is in the night, he is out in the darkness of your intellectual reasoning. He could have said, he is out in the dark and he is knocking at the door and he is wanting to come in. But he is out in the dark, and the dewdrops of the night are in his locks. And he's standing there and he's knocking, asking for an entrance, seeking an entrance into your heart. But you have him out in the dark with your intellectual reasoning. You're confiscating of natural things. You're alluring toward those things, an enticement of wanting the gullible things of the flesh. So then he is beckoning, he is asking, he's pleading, let me come in and sup with you. And I will give you life, and I will give you life abundantly, because I am the Prince of Life. And I've come that you may have life, and that you may have it more abundant, which means filled up and overflowing. So then there's a purpose. His purpose was to bring life. That great light has shined in the midst of darkness, and the darkness could not comprehend it. With all of their brilliance, they cannot comprehend it. They have great brilliance, Einsteins of today, But as I say so often, Einstein is like one that never did get out of his diaper. He was just a little fella in the world that never did even excel his diaper. Because you being gods in the earth and you being the great, wonderful people with the mind of Almighty God, even the mind of Christ, you have found an equality with God and you have become equal with God. People in the world are not equal with God. People are nothing but beast in the world. Even science has traced the origin back to the beast. And they're nothing more than beasts. But people who are born again, they are not dwelling in the earth. God said, you're not in the world. I've chosen you out of the world. Speaking of your spiritual inner man, the translation and transformation of the mind. And he said, I've hid you with Christ in God, whom the heavens have received, until the time of the restoring, the change, or the coming in of the great millennium, restoring of all of that that shall be destroyed with the bumming and whatever, all of this that's been destroyed with diseases and perplexities and bewilderments of life. I will restore the years the cankerworm got, the years the locust took, and that the caterpillar has eaten. I will take and restore that. And when you say the worm, God says, Jacob, thy worm, I will help thee. Speaking of the human ego, the human scientific thrust in the world, they have destroyed the virtues of men. I will destroy that. He calls them a worm, a serpent, a generation of vipers. It's on their belly, all of their labor for their belly, because their belly craves it of them. And he said, I will restore this that these foolish people have destroyed. I will bring back the restoration of the great day of God and the great wonderful garden. And I will restore all these things of the greatness of life to where you can have this rehabilitation toward the fullness of life. Life and that more abundant, as David said, my cup running over. So in this we see the great plan of God. And we see that he hath given us these things through the word of God as to promises. For in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, the same in the beginning with God. The Word came forth, put on flesh, and dwelt among us, and we beheld it as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and full of truth. And so then this Word now, the same to 1,000 generations, sure we have the Word. And this wonderful Word is here. This Word of promise, he says, by my stripes ye are healed. And this word is to us. This word is to us. Can I believe that word? That when I'm sick, when I've got problems, can I believe that word? I do believe that word because I am a believer. I believe that word. And this word is the word of power and creation. For in the beginning, the word said, let there be, and there was. And all things emanated from the word through faith. So we know this great light that expressed itself as a vocal expression through Jesus Christ, the beginning of the creation of God. All things were made by him and for him, and for his glory were they made, and without him was not anything made that was made. So then we know that God, as the Word, as the Spirit, came forth, made himself a body, dwelt among us, that he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. And they crucified the Son of God. They took the body of Almighty God, and they hang it at Calvary. In their ignorance, the Bible said, because in their so-called wisdom and their so-called understanding and science ability, that they knew not God when God was in their midst and walked in the world, and through their intellectual prestige of self-esteem went wild and got out of control in their mind and crucified the Lord of glory. So it pleased God that by the foolishness of preaching men should be saved, seeing that by the wisdom of men that they knew not God. So he then said, so then the wisdom of God is among you to show you up in your scientific thrust as being foolish. And all of the wisdom of men, he said, is nothing but foolishness because they did not know God. I then realized that this word is a word of life, and it's a word of spirit. Do I believe this word, this exceeding great, mighty promise of God? Or these promises that bring me the abundance of life? Do I believe that word? I do believe that word. When it says, by his stripes ye are healed, I believe that. When it says, I will never leave you nor forsake you, lo, I'm with you always, even until the end of the world, I believe that. When it says, he that cometh unto me, I shall in no wise cast out, I believe that. When he said, let the weak say that I am strong, I believe that. And when he says that I am not of this world, but he has translated me into the marvelous kingdom of God as to the inner man and to Christ, then I believe that. And when he tells me that by his stripes I'm healed, I say again, I believe that. So I believe that, I get the benefits of that. And then a lot of times we say, well, we believe that, but we didn't get the benefits of it. What is wrong with us? What is wrong with us? See, the problem is not that we don't believe. For the Bible said, if you believe there's one God, you do well. Even the devil believes and trembles. So it's obvious that since this is the day of grace and the rain is on the just and on the unjust, that this is a time of believing, you know, and that you can believe. And if the tare gets the blessings of God in this day of grace, then how much more would the children of God get the blessings of God? Is the tare worthy of the blessings? Should the tare get the blessings? To this extent, God did create the tare, and he has to keep it alive for its purpose in the earth. Now, if the rain comes on the just and on the unjust, is the unjust worthy of God's blessings? Or should the unjust get God's blessings? God hath created the unjust for their purpose in the earth. Therefore, he should keep them alive as to whatever time, as to the time element that's involved, or whatever purpose. So then, if they get the blessings of God, how much more should the children of God get the blessings of God? How much more should I come boldly before the throne of grace that I might receive this help in the time of need? How much more should I come boldly before the throne of grace and say, this is my heavenly Father, and I have a need, and God, you said for me to come, and you would give this to me. So then, what is the problem? Do we believe? Are we eligible? Is this to us? Of course it is. But then why do we have a problem? Why can't we find this miraculous? Why can't we find this divine deliverance? Why can't we find the healing? See, the church is so shallow. The church of today is so shallow. It's such a make-believe thing. It's just a little something that goes to church in 45 minutes of ministry, and then it goes away and it does its thing all day long as to the natural. See, but in the early church, it wasn't like that. It was from the early morning till late at night that they administered the gospel. They fasted, they prayed, they meditated in the laws of God day and night. They cast down imagination and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God. And they brought into captivity every thought to the obedience of Jesus Christ, that all they could think of was Christ and that wonderful world of glory. And they became another person. They became a new creature in Christ Jesus through new birth. And they had a new lifestyle and a new way of God. And they incorporated God into their life. See, and so in doing this, they walked with the Lord. They walked with the Lord, and they did not say that anything that they had was their own. They took to the spoiling of their goods. They sold their houses and homes and everything that they had, and they laid it down at the apostles' feet, saying that not any of these things was theirs, but to give to the hungry and to the poor and to the needy. See, the church world of today is so different. It is so different from the church world of that day. And in exchange, God gave them eternal life. In exchange, God gave them the abundance of health and blessing. In exchange, God gave them faith unfeigned. And in exchange, God gave them power, great and mighty power that opened the blind eyes and unstopped the deaf ears and made the lame to walk, that raised the dead out of the graves. See, so then in the day that we're living in, Why do we not have the blessings of these things? Because of the superficial approach of the church. Because of the little time that's dedicated to God. Because we are not given to these things to let God incorporate us in his lifestyle. Well, anyway, this great, wonderful Jesus that is the abundance of life, the same to 1,000 generations, the same yesterday, today, and forever, he's here. He's always here. He is the Word. He comes in the form of the Word through the ministry of faith by the hearing of the Word. And this Word coming to you goes down into the heart and it changes into a spiritual revelation or spiritual life and quickening as to your health, as to your strength, and to your youth. And not only as to renewing your strength in God, but completely renewing you, bringing you to a new creature or back to the originality of the creative act of God before the fall of mankind. So then in the beginning, Jesus said it was not so as to sickness and poverty and heartaches and problems and the gullible desires of life as to corruption. In the beginning, it was not so as to a world that's falling apart and with wars and all of these kind of things. It was peace. It was peace. It was tranquility. It was the great refreshing of God's presence. It was a garden untouched by the evils of Lucifer. What is the will of God toward man anyway? What is the will of God? I struggle and I strain and I press in through my lifetime. You know, I've done this and I still do this. And I say, what is the will of God? What is the best thing for mankind, Heavenly Father? Let me know your will. How can I preach the Word of God to people and tell them about the things of God if I don't know the things of God? How can I express to them the will of God if I myself be fuddled up within my mind? And so then I seek to know, to seek to find, to knock, it will be open unto you, to ask, and it shall be given you. And I say to the Lord, tell me your will. So the Lord, he has told me his will so thoroughly, so precisely. It is so wonderful. And one of the ways that we can comprehend it in kind of a compact manner is where he said, and peace on earth, goodwill toward man. We know then that the first thought is that he wants peace in the earth. He doesn't want trouble. He doesn't want wars. From whence cometh the wars? The Bible said, is it not from the lust that warreth in your members? So then the lust is of you, not of God. And it comes from your intellectual reasoning and desire for conquest to lord over your fellow man rather than being an example to the people or helping them to look on others better than yourself, to esteem others to be better than yourself, to look on the things of others, to seek the welfare of another, to be an example as Jesus was in washing the feet of the saints. So then we know that it's his will to have peace on earth. Did death come by God? No. Death came by man. So then it was not God that brought death. It is not God that brought sickness. It is not God that brought poverty. Who then brought it into the earth? Man. Man opened the door for it. Man is the one that did it all. Man is still doing it all by his intellectual reasoning. And yet, when we say man, Satan living in man with his desire for conquest and power to rule, to rob God, the dispute over the body that the Bible speaks of, Satan showing himself that he is God, sitting within the human body, which is called the temple of God, showing himself that he is the great Superman of the earth. And the Bible said that evil one, God will allow him to work until the time of his consummation. But with the brightness of this light of the revelational knowledge of Almighty God, the consummation of God of that light will do away with science falsely so called, which is Satan and his power of rule through the powers of education. And the Bible said this world and all of this world is nothing but vanity, the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, and all of the world and the lust shall pass away. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. So then we know that this great light is breaking. And even after the millennium, when we are told that this light will forcibly come at one time, there will be nothing left. It will be so bright. It will be so great. It will be so consuming until the heavens will pass away. The earth will pass away. The seas will pass away. All of humanity, their end shall pass away. And there shall be nothing that is left except the sons of light, the daughters of light, the body of Jesus Christ, He alone, dwelling within the midst of this great light of understanding, this power of consummation that is so brilliant and bright that it causes everything to consume away. So then we know that God being this wonderful word of life, we must believe this word of life. And we're taught this word of life so that we can believe this word of life. And it today is the same. Christ is with you. Christ is near you. He's not way off. The Bible said not that we should say within our heart, who will go up into heaven to ascend into heaven to bring him down, nor who shall descend into the earth to bring him up. But this is nigh you, even in your heart, the word of faith that we preach unto you. Faith by the hearing of this word, to believe these divine promises. Now, what is the problem? The problem is the lack of the strength of our faith. Do we believe? We do believe. We are believers. We are the church. But what is the strength of our faith? The Bible said Abraham was strong in faith, giving glory to God. So then the detriment of the church of today is not that they don't have faith, but rather that they have no strength to their faith. The Bible said, strengthen the things that remain. Strengthen those things, or I will come and move your candlestick. And the Bible said the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching out the inward part. That is, I will put out the light of the life that you already have and blot your name out of the book of life altogether. You won't even be in life. So he said that we should strengthen those things that remain. Strengthen your faith. Your faith without works is dead. Let's put some exuberance behind it. Let's put some effort behind it. God says, Noah, build an ark. And so Noah builds an ark. He puts works behind his faith. And so then he comes up with this great ark, not knowing how. Abraham sojourned in a strange country, not knowing where he was going, but by faith he sojourned, believing that God would reveal to him and God would take care of him. We're dwelling in a strange place. We are strangers to this country, and we are passing through this country. We are traveling as strangers, but we are moving on by faith, because the Bible says that there is a land that we're headed for, that is our homeland, and we're headed for that. God has gathered the Jews back to their homeland down through the years, scattered abroad, back during the 70s, as to 70 A.D., then the Jews were dispersed. They were sent away to foreign countries. And God allowed that the gospel as to salvation being of the Jew might be spread around the world in that way of their understanding. See that the flame of real holiness might spring up to bring us to real salvation. And then he was to gather them all back, he said, as the prophet said, on the wings of an eagle, which we see that today as on the American plains have been brought back from all different parts of the country. And through the American aid as to giving them the secrets of the plains and the warfare and whatever. So being gathered back together, they were headed for their homeland. They went through the Holocaust. They went through all kind of sorrows, all kind of problems. But they've gathered back to their homeland, which means that is symbolically speaking of the church and the spiritual stride of the spiritual Jew that's been in the wilderness wandering all the way from Egypt to Canaan. And we're on our way back to the homeland. And now we're coming back into the homeland. The spiritual Jew. Paul said, he that is a Jew outwardly is not a Jew, but he that is a Jew inwardly. And that we are the spiritual Israelite. We are the true Israelite. And all of that is just symbolic as to the natural Jew of the spiritual world. There is a natural world. There is a spiritual world. There's a natural people. There is a spiritual people. So then in the spirit world, see, we are moving inwardly as an angelic being in heaven. We're all as the angels, that is, in the spirit. Like when Peter came over there, he was out of prison. They said it must be his spirit. It must be his angel. So in heaven, we're all as the angels. That is through the new birth. We're all as the angels. We cannot die. We're eternal within the spirit. And that life is to be made manifest in these mortal bodies, the mortal genes, to change them to where the creature itself shall also be delivered from the bondage of the world and the afflictions of the vanities of this world, which is vexation to our spirit. So we are gathering in the homeland now. We're beginning to come into this light. We begin to come into the Shekinah that we failed from in the garden when everything was lost through the fall of Adam. And this great illumination now is given back to us. And Jesus Christ, being the beginning of the creation of God, was filled with that illumination. He rent the veil at Calvary. Now this light shines around the world. It is grace. It is grace even to the tear. The rain comes down upon it. Even to the unjust, there's grace. As to a dispensational grace and the blood on the seat of atonement. And though the world is turning this into lasciviousness in the sense that they turn the grace of God into lasciviousness, sporting their diamonds and pearl and lavishly going after the things of the world. Yet you and I don't do that. And during the time of this great, wonderful light, see, people are seeing the love of God and having a chance to repent. They're reflecting this light. But, beloved, we're not just reflecting this light. We're absorbing this light and we're being born to this light. And we are the light of the world, the members of his body. And in that we are this light shining in the midst of the darkness as the church is illuminated with the light of God. The world doesn't see it. They mock them. It is the old bond child that mocks the free child. And they are bond children because they're in bondage to the beggarly elements of this world as to their human desire, their human ego, their passions and whatever, as to their five human senses. They are dependent upon the belly and dependent upon the world to have any form of life. And if the human senses fail them as to sight or hearing or whatever it might be, their life is gone. But not so with you. You're born of eternal life. Jesus was the beginning of the creation of God, which means bringing the light back that Adam lost. And today it's in the world shining until the blood comes off of the seat of atonement as to end the dispensational grace. And all of the healing medicines and all these things will utterly be gone. And those people won't be able to dwell in this heavenly light of this blessing of goodness anymore. Total darkness, and they'll gnaw their tongues for pain, and there won't be any healing medicines. The world of medicine is only reflecting the children of God. They don't have any understanding, and it's only that they're reflecting the children of God that they're able to even perfect a bottle of medicine. All right, so we've got these promises. What must we do? Strengthen our faith. Strengthen that remains. Take this word of God and meditate in it day and night. And let it be as frontless upon your eyes, over the doorpost of your house. And put the blood over the mantle, that when he passes through the dark intellectual night of this Egyptian civilization, that he will see the blood and not smite the firstborn, born of Adam. Preserve the firstborn, change it. Otherwise, all that's born of Adam die. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. A few little words of exhortation this morning as to help enlighten you and bring you to a greater vision in God and greater things in the Lord. I want to say again, we appreciate you coming out. We always appreciate you coming to be with us. We look forward to the morning service, and then of course we'll be here tonight, the good Lord will. And we welcome you to come out and be with us tonight. Enjoy the wonderful abundance of life, this great, wonderful life eternal, and this life abundantly, this everlasting life. For these words that we speak unto you are spirit and they are life. And God is gathering together his body to instill within them this wonderful mind of life, Let this mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, even the mind of word, of spirit, and life, that your body might be preserved forever. Otherwise, you're going to die. No matter what your abundance of life is as to natural things, you're still going to leave them and you're going to die. But this abundance of life as to the spirit within us brings us not only the spiritual abundance of life as to living water out of your innermost being, but it also brings you the physical stamina to where you can be healed completely in your body, and it brings you the natural things of life to where you can have all of the natural goods of life as to housing and clothing and food and whatever, those things that are necessitated to life, even giving you the desires of your heart if you delight yourself in Christ. So then we know that the end of the world is here, the government is failing, everything is gone, and here we stand as the children of God, ready now as to our diplomacy to take over the whole world, that the kingdoms of this world might become the kingdoms of our God and of His Christ, not only this world, but the world to come. It is God's goodwill towards you. God's goodwill, not a bad will. I know my thoughts toward you that they're not evil, but they are good. And I would that you be in health and prosper above all things, even as your soul prosper. I want you to have this wonderful word of healing and life. But to obtain this, you have to submit your body and swear to your own hurt and equip yourself with a mind to suffer, to get the old natural beast part out of the way as to the intellectual reasoning of your self-esteem and leaning to your own understanding. So you have to deny yourself. In doing this and putting the body down, great radiance of health will break forth in it, and great, wonderful stamina to face life and faith and fame, and your blessings will be abundant, and He will open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that you'll not be able to receive. You'll have to share it with others because of this wonderful blessings of God. So then we know that God is above us, in us, and through us. He's ever present. And all we have to do is call on His name and believe. Let's sing a little chorus together. Sweep over my soul. Sweep over my soul, precious Spirit. Sweep over my soul, for my rest it is complete while I sit at your feet. Oh, sweet Savior, sweep over my soul. For I've anchored my soul in God's haven, and I'll sail though the tempest did make sweep out over the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I am safe evermore. I need Thee, my Lord. I need Thee. The altars are open. Every hour I need Thee. I need Thee now, precious Savior. Oh, how I need Thee. Turn him away. So don't turn him away.
once again. So let Jesus in to stay. For oh, how you'll need him just to plead your cause on that eternal day. Listen to the Savior, and hear his loving voice, and oh, turn him away. In this little chorus. When I'm tossed on life's sea, and the waves all cover me, and the dark clouds won't let the sunshine through, then I hear a voice say, shall there be a better day? Don't allow the clouds to hide sweet heaven's view. You've got one more valley, one more hill. You've got one more sorrow, one more tear, one more curve in life, oh, one more mile to go. Let Satan see your tears. Try to smile above your fears. Put your head up high and give the world a smile. Just be faithful all the way. It'll be worth it all someday. For it's all gonna be over after a while. You've got one more soul, one more tear. You've got one more heartache thing down here. One more curve. One more mile to go, when you can lay down your heavy load, when you get home. When the world seems cold and your friends seem few, there is someone who cares for you. When there's tears in your eyes and your heart bleeds inside, there is someone who's a friend to you. Sing that with me. Someone to care, someone here. All your troubles like no other can do, he'll come down from the sky, brush the tears from your eyes, for he's your friend and he cares for you. Sing it with me. someone to care. Someone who'll share all your burdens like no other. Sky and wipe the tears from your eyes. He's your friend and he cares for you.
Let's lift our hands up and close our eyes together.
We'll praise him. I will praise him. Praise the Lamb for sinners slain. And I'll
sing it with me one more time now.
I will praise my Lord. I will praise the Lord. Praise the Lamb for sinners slain. And I'll give him glory, all ye people, pour the blood that's washed the weary stain. And time shall be no more, no more, and I shall be no more. For the angel will stand on the sea and on the land. Shall be no more. Sing that with me now. For time shall be no more, no more, and time shall be no more. For the angel will stand on the sea and on the land, and thine shall be no more. Once again now, I will praise him. My will praise him.
Lift your hands up. Close your eyes. Let's worship the Lord. The Bible said, examine yourselves and see if you be in the faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the wonderful word of God. Strengthen that remains. Strengthen your faith in God. Pray. Fast, study the Bible. Love the Lord with all of your heart. Do the things that please God, and you'll confidence your heart that He hears you and have the desire of your heart. Once again now, with your eyes closed and your hands lifted to heaven, I will praise Him. I will praise Him. Praise the Lamb for sinners slain. And I'll give Him glory, all ye people, for His blood that's washed the way every stain. While you've got your hands up and you've got your eyes closed, let's just think on the Lord for just a few minutes. Can we do that? Father of heaven, we're grateful for your blessings. We're grateful for your wonderful strength. We ask you to heal the people this morning. Father, to stretch out your hand of healing. Father, to save the people, to forgive the people, to deliver the people. Father, let your wonderful spirit be in our midst. Oh God, we know that it is, that where two or three are gathered together in your name, you're in the midst of us. And oh God, we realize that your wonderful word, that you are the word of spirit and life, and that you are in the midst of us. And dear God, let little Bethlehem be illuminated with your presence and the tranquility of your peace. Father, let the sanctuary be burning as the brightness of a burning light, and with the fire of that invisible force to heal and save and forgive. Lord, that these people that are very gods should be illuminated in such a way that they should be about their Father's business. But oh God, meet with us tonight. Let us come into these gates with thanksgiving and into these courts with praise. And let us enter in, God, with a great, wonderful, wonderful blessing. A great, wonderful blessing from God. Father, that the word of the Lord might be here, and that the spirit of the Lord might be here, and people might be healed and delivered. And God, that their strength and youth may be renewed in God. Father, even as the eagle reneweth its strength. Lord, we ask this morning that you be with us and bless us. We're going to sing this little chorus together while you've got your hands lifted and your eyes closed. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like an eagle. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and never faint. Teach me, Lord, teach me, Lord, to wait. Once again now. They that wait upon like an eagle, they shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and never faint. Teach me, Lord, teach me, Lord. One more time together, we're going to sing it. They that wait, are you going to wait upon the Lord now? Shall renew their strength. They shall bound up